In today's world, whether in the West or in the East, God is a controversial topic. Some have characterized him as an animal, while others make statues and icons of the famous who they believe once associated with him. But one thing is sure, the Judeo-Christian Bible has stood the test of time. The Ten Commandments, they have been recognized throughout history as rock-solid foundational building blocks for social order. Yet, they are rejected by so many. Why? Why are they not viewed more importantly? What are the consequences for disobeying them? Stay with us as we explore these questions on today's program.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Charles Gross.
Hi, welcome to the Armor of God. We're pleased to have you with us today. We want to challenge you on some thinking and some thoughts from Scripture. And today the topic of our program is Get Right or Get Left. Now, some of you will probably think that that might be a title that has political leaning, Get Right or Get Left. Oh, it may have some association. I'll let you draw your own conclusions as we go along. Nonetheless, it's nice to have you with us. Today we want to talk about a subject that's very, very important to you and your children and your future. It deals with the subject of the Ten Commandments, but to go there, we must look at one of the most intriguing characters in all of Scripture. And yet very little is said about him. I would like for you to consider some of the language that you have heard about if you've been a churchgoer. Maybe many, many years ago you heard it, and it's current today. I would like to talk to you about a genealogy that's contained in the early chapters of the book of Genesis. Now, don't get disillusioned. Genealogies sometimes are considered boring. But in this particular one, actually there are two that come early on in the book of Genesis. But there's something I found a little bit intriguing here as we consider the genealogy in Genesis chapter 5. This is the genealogy of Adam, and it is carried on through Noah. It is of interest, if you like this kind of thing, to just count the numbers of generations from Adam to Noah. Here's what you'll find. Just by guess how many it is. Do you have any idea? It's 10. 10 generations from Adam to Noah. I find it intriguing that after 10 generations, if I may put it in this language, after 10 chances to get it right, the world was in chaos. The world had abandoned itself to hedonism, sexual pleasure, uncontrolled licentiousness, murder, mayhem, disrespect, idolatry, you know, all those things. We do find in this interesting story that's presented here in this all these different names, a gentleman who I find very intriguing. His name is Enoch. But I would like you to consider something. Now, if you have your Bible, listen to what it says and follow along. This is the genealogy of Adam through his son Seth, not through his son Cain. And if you're familiar with this, you will know that when the genealogy of Cain is given, there's a word that's absent as we go from generation to generation to generation. The word that's missing is lived. Let me illustrate. Speaking of Seth, it's Seth, Seth lived 100 years, and he begat Enos. And then it goes on, and Enos lived. I found it interesting that in the genealogy that involves Seth that would produce Enoch, we have this frequent word used, lived, lived, lived. And yet, with the lineage of Cain, the word lived is absent. So from the very beginning in Scripture, we see the lineage of Adam go in two directions. We had a set of believers, if you will, and a set of non-believers, those that tended to be much more obedient and those who were completely disobedient. In fact, You know the story of Cain killing his brother, but you also get down to Lamech, and Lamech was an unrighteous man who had a polygamous relationship, and he was involved in murdering people. So very quickly, in the 930 years that Adam lived, tragically for him, I'm sure, he got to see his family line go two ways. Well, that's still going on today in our society. In our world today, we have people going the right way. Then we have people going the other way, and for the sake of this illustration, the left way. And I do not just mean liberal. You know, there can be conservative people who are not going the right way just as much as there can be liberal people who are not going the right way. But just bear with me as we talk about this issue again, that if you don't go right, believe me, you are going to get left. As we consider then this program, we want to offer to you today the opportunity to request a tape and an article. Please note the numbers that are on the screen and call us. It's absolutely free of charge, and the lines are very busy. Be sure to call back. But two items. First of all, an article on Was Moses the Lawgiver? Very important question to answer. And secondly, a tape that can be ordered as a cassette tape or as a CD is entitled, it's a sermon tape entitled Get Right or Get Left. And please avail yourself of that opportunity to call for those items and let us know how we can best serve you with those things that you can study. Now let's come back to discuss this lineage once again and realize that it wasn't the lineage through Seth, following Adam, that living. The association is that they were doing some things right rather than wrong. I found it rather intriguing as I went through here and considered verse 21. I'll read to you quickly here in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21. We have mentioned a gentleman by the name of Enoch. There's a lot of confusion about Enoch. We teach about that on the program occasionally. Many people in religion believe that Enoch went to heaven. He did not go to heaven because there's no one in heaven today except Jesus Christ. That's what the New Testament says. You either believe it or you don't. Individuals take these verses here in Hebrews chapter 11 and sort of create a place for Enoch. Let's just read what it says here. Enoch lived, there's that word again, he lived 65 years to beget Methuselah, and Enoch, notice now, he walked with God. To me, that tells me that he was living right. He was going the right way. He walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and notice in verse 24, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And when you understand what that's talking about, it just means that God took him out of danger because there were people who were searching for Enoch because of what he preached, because he was a preacher of righteousness. Here he was, a seventh generation preacher, if you will, and he, of all things, was announcing Jesus Christ, announcing God's wrath, announcing God's judgment. Society had gone rather quickly, actually, inside of 10 generations, had gone into depravity, into sexual immorality, into permissiveness, into lying, into murder. Two ways. And here we have the line through Seth, through Adam, through Enoch, and here he was singled out as a man who walked with God. He went the right way. He did not go the wrong way. One of the things that you can be guaranteed of is this, is that Enoch understood God's will for him. I'd like you to consider what it says back in the book of Jude. This is what he preached. And I find this our commission today as a work and as an organization, as a church, to preach the same thing. Because when I consider the world in which I live in today, and you do as well, whether you are in Canada, whether you are in Australia, the Philippines, Australia, wherever you are, look around yourself, consider your community, consider your government, and let's look at the laws we live by. Notice what Enoch preached. And those of us who serve in the ministry would do well to serve as he did. I'm over in the book of Jude, two verses, beginning in verse 14. And Enoch also, and did you know that he did this? Most people aren't aware that this little verse or two is found over here. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, he prophesied now of these, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints. Those of us who are privileged to speak to you on the Armor of God program, we will tell you the same. Behold, the Lord is coming with 10,000 of his saints. That is going to happen. We await his parousia, his coming. him coming back to this earth to straighten out all that is wrong and make it right. We as human beings have proven we are incapable of doing that left to ourselves. Now notice, I want you to see what he was preaching. Verse 15. Speaking again, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints, the latter part of verse 14, now verse 15, to execute judgment upon all, judgment upon everyone, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Verse 16, we might as well read that. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouths speak great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration and because of advantage. When I consider this gentleman, this man who is mentioned here in Genesis, the book of Jude, and is also mentioned in the chapter dealing with the faithful, very little is said about him, but those few words carry a powerful message. Because he was a preacher of righteousness in an ungodly society. We as an organization preach in an ungodly society. Do you know we have to be very careful about what we talk about on this program? We can't really use the language we'd like to use on some occasions because they won't air our television program. Did you know that? We can't tell you what really is going on like we'd like to because we will be prohibited from broadcasting. Believe it or not. It's absolutely correct. However, we do our best to at least entice you to consider what the Bible says without being overly direct. I will tell you this, that if Enoch were sitting here today in my place, he would tell you that this is an ungodly nation, this is an ungodly world, and we are headed down the wrong path, and we need to straighten up, and we need to go right. Well, they didn't like what he said, so as it says back in the book of Genesis, God took him. Did not take him to heaven, if you just study into that a little bit. So let's talk about this world in which we live in, this ungodly world, a world that the churches in this world have failed their parishioners and their constituency, their membership, because unfortunately the ministers, too many of them, and even one is too many, but it's hundreds, it's tens of hundreds, if you will, of ministers who can't discern right and wrong, between right and wrong. Whether we're talking about the issues of homosexuality, whether we're talking about abortion, whether we're talking about adultery, whatever it is that we're talking about, it seems that the ministry is blind. I'm not exactly sure why they have lost their way, but they have. But there are some who have not. For those of you who are wondering about your ministry, about those that you listen to, you make sure they're anchored to what is in this book. Now, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about that. And to do this, I want you to consider what we, for so many years, held dear and privileged, especially if you went to church, and that is God's commandments, the Ten Commandments. I thought it was rather interesting, a report that was contained in a booklet, or actually a full-fledged book, entitled The Day America Told the Truth. And this is a reflection on commandment-keeping in the 90s. And again, I realize we're into the 2000s now, but I think this is interesting information for you. A survey was given to people, a good number of people, about what they thought about the commandments and keeping them. And you might say, well, you know, we're a God-fearing nation. We believe in keeping the commandments. Maybe that's what you feel about yourself, but and I hope it's true. But let's answer a few questions. How many people do you think, percentages now, of all those who were surveyed felt that it was really important to observe the Sabbath? And I've touched on this before, but I won't make an issue of it in the program to say the Sabbath really is Saturday. It's not Sunday, but just giving you that thought that maybe you think it is Sunday. How many people believe, percentage-wise, that, you know, you should keep the Sabbath, that it's important? 23%. 77% don't see any point in observing the Sabbath. And, of course, a much higher percentage do not believe it's important to keep the seventh day. How many of you think believe it isn't really all that important if you steal from one another, steal from your neighbor, steal from your classmate? 74% said, I will steal from those who won't really miss it. That's just unbelievable. 74%. I will steal from those who won't really miss it. 64% said, I will lie when it suits me, so long as it doesn't cause any real damage. What happened to the old adage, you know, about telling the truth and being honest? 56% said, I will drink and drive if I feel that I can handle it. I know my limit. Well, there's a foolish act of faith on our part to put our lives into the hands of people who have been drinking and they're going to drive you home. 56% said they will drive and drink if they can think they can handle it. All right, this has bearing on the seventh commandment. I will cheat on my spouse. After all, given the chance, he or she will do the same thing. 53% said that they would. Now, do you wonder why we have problems in our society today? Why the basic foundation of the family is being eroded and being torn down with percentages like this? Here's another statistic. I will use recreational drugs. I believe this number is even higher today. It was 41%. I will put my lover at risk of disease. What do you think the percentage was on that? I will put my lover at risk of disease. I sleep around a bit, but who doesn't? 31%. With AIDS being as rampant as it is in our society today, doesn't that startle you just a little bit? 31% feel that, okay, it's all right to sleep around and to be unfaithful. So those are very, very discouraging statistics, and that information is somewhat frightening, isn't it? Well, let's come back to this preacher of righteousness, if you will. I want to consider Enoch and all that he was doing, because he really is one of my favorite people. And I want you to consider something as we go along. I want you to think about it. I really do. How many chances do you get in this life? Well, you get one chance to live. I know that. And then comes death. But how many chances do you get? And here's where I want to go with this. I want you to consider this. Does God's patience ever run out? A little bit of a loaded question, I guess, and debatable. But does God's patience ever run out? Well, the answer is yes. In other words, there comes a point to where God has had enough. If you consider what we just touched upon back in the early chapters of Genesis here, there came a day after 10 generations had passed. They had 10, there's an interesting word, 10 chances, 10 generations to live righteously. Unfortunately, they did not, and judgment came upon the land. And if you are familiar with this story, you will know that a flood came and destroyed all of mankind. Yes, it says, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all. That's exactly what happened in the days of Noah. If you follow along in the genealogy, it happened again. It happened from Abraham in chapter 11 of Genesis from Shem to Abraham. And in the lifetime of Abraham, guess what occurred? You had judgment. God visited this earth again. 10 generations later, Sodom and Gomorrah, licentiousness, immorality, abomination. And those who make up our homosexual audience today, and I know there may not be too many of them listening to this program, but around this country who want us to accept homosexual acts, we can't. You can't clean it up. I can't clean that up. I can't clean up adultery. I can't make lying okay. I can't make stealing okay. The Bible is clear on that. And God visits his judgment upon those who are given over to licentious ways and practices. That's what the story of Sodom and Gomorrah is all about. You know, and don't you, as a believer, as a disciple of Christ, fall victim to believing that that's okay and it's sweet, because it isn't. It's abominable, just as much as the ruinous effects of an adulterous lifestyle would be. So, you know, I have biblical perspective on that, and I hope you do as well. No, there was judgment that came upon the land. Yes, God came and he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah once again. Over here in Numbers chapter 14, there's a little verse that's easily overlooked. It's caught up in the story of the rebellion of Israel. And I want to come back to visit the question I raised to you a while ago. Does God's patience run out, and how many chances do you get? Well, the children of Israel have been very, very rebellious toward Moses. And in their rebellion, one thing happened after the other. And if you follow the story, following their exodus out of Egypt, you come to Numbers chapter 14, and over in verse 22, something I found extremely interesting. Because all those men, I'm breaking into the storyline here, but please listen to me. Because all those men which have seen my glory, this is God talking to Moses, and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times. You know what that tells me? That God counts rebellion. God is aware of when people disobey his commandments. He says, and they have not hearkened to my voice. And then the punishment was meted out. Surely they shall not see the land which I swore unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. Remarkable, isn't it? Just a speculative question here I'd like to ask you about. You know the story of the Pharaoh and Moses and the children of Israel. How many chances did Pharaoh get? You know, Moses and Aaron went to him, and God wanted his people to go out into the wilderness and to keep his holy days, which is something we should be keeping today. How many chances did Pharaoh get? Well, he got 10. And after the 10th one, what happened? Well, the firstborn was killed, remember, in all the land. What amazes me about that story is, if Moses would just have listened after plague 5 or plague 6 or plague 7, if he had responded to God, would he have been able to prevent the death of the firstborn? The answer I'm led to believe is yes. Well, he got 10 chances and he failed. Well, we are given 10 opportunities, if I might put it in that language, to show God that we are willing to obey him. You know the commandments, don't you? The first 4 are very, very important. You're not to have any other gods before the one true God. You're not to make any idols. All right? You're not to blaspheme God. And you're supposed to keep the Sabbath day. Those are the first 4. And yet that's buttressed by the 5th one, which is the responsibility of parents to teach your children. Boy, just think about that today in our society. Wouldn't it be something if we could just get that done? If we could just keep the first 5, wouldn't that transform the world? Wouldn't that transform society? It really would. I want you to consider here what the book of Matthew says, because, you know, there's coming a time of judgment upon the land. It's a very serious time. It's going to happen very soon. I honestly do not know how much worse things can get, but they're going to get worse based upon what we see in human nature. Here in Matthew chapter 25, let me tell you something. And as the saying goes, you can take this to the bank. It's time for you and me to get right, or we are going to get left. Notice the presentation here in Matthew chapter 25, over in verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and Christ is going to come back. And in the meantime, there is going to be a work, and there's going to be a ministry. There are going to be preachers of righteousness telling you about the ungodly world in which we live. And until then, we are going to do our job. And the Son of Man will come back, all of his holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Notice now, and before him shall he gather all nations, meaning all peoples. And he shall separate them one from the other, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats will be on his left hand. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You either are going to be right, or you are going to be left. You will either be among the sheep, or you will be among the goats. Hence the title of the program today, Get Right or Get Left. The simple way for you to get right is to discern God's will. Accept this testimony. And like that great man who's written about just so briefly in the Old and the New Testament, Enoch, you believe in righteousness. You know you live in an ungodly world, but you don't have to be that way. No, get right, so you will not be left.
Our friend Charles used a very clever play on words today. He said, get right or get left. Now, that had nothing to do with politics. Charles was referencing something that the Bible actually says. You see, the Bible tells us that there are two ways to live, a right way and a wrong way. And ultimately, each of us must choose. We can choose to go our own way in accordance with our own human nature, or we can go God's way. You see, we are free moral agents. We're created in His image. We've been given the ability to make free moral judgment, that is, to decide what's right and what's wrong. But we must do that in light of God's Word, because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Charles brought up a good point also when he mentioned the parousia, which is the Greek word for the return of Jesus Christ. In the 25th chapter of Matthew of your Bible, you'll see that Christ will gather the nations before Him, at which time He will put the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left hand. The ultimate equation is simply, will we be sheep or goats? Will we be left or will we be right? The ones on the right will inherit the kingdom. Those on the left will be exactly that. Hence the play on words that Charles made. Friends, the Church of God International has an offer that we would like to send to you that we believe will help you to make better choices and decisions. We've put together a package that includes an article entitled, Was Moses the Lawgiver? And along with that, we'd also like to send to you, free of charge, the full sermon tape entitled, Get Right or Get Left. You can have your choice of a CD or a cassette tape. Just dial 888-578-8791 and tell the operator which format you prefer, CD or tape. And along with that, friends, I'd remind you to check out our website at www.cgi.org. We have a wealth of information on there on a variety of biblical subjects that are all designed to help you make better choices and to come to know Jesus Christ better. And so finally now, friends, I'd just like to remind you to be with us again next week for another edition of The Armor of God. This is Wayne Hendricks telling you to put on the whole armor of God and keep it on, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And we'll see you right here next week. Until then, goodbye, friends, and keep that armor on.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.